Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Honestly, I'm from a city where a lot of people, I didn't personally know anybody in the NFL until like the year before I got drafted. So I just feel like we're underdogs where I'm from. We don't get a lot of the attention that we deserve. And I got a lot of people who are not here, who I play for, and I play like, you know, I want to make them proud. So, and I felt great. I had fun tonight. Played as a team, got the dub. So,
we've been talking about him, haven't we? Been writing about it. I know I've been writing about him a lot during the preseason, even going back to OTAs, the draft night. There was something about Nate Hobbs, and even when we interviewed him, I want to say it was on Zoom. I think it was on Zoom, but it was one of those media availabilities on draft night. We who cover the Raiders got a chance to talk to Nate Hobbs. I think it was Sunday. It was the last day of the draft, fifth round, right? So it must have been Sunday. Maybe it was Saturday. Anyway, it was the last day of the draft. He was a fifth round draft pick. And here comes this dude. Okay, Nate Hobbs. The Raiders drafted Nate Hobbs, cornerback, Illinois, in the fifth round. Doing a little research, I had heard the name, hadn't really done much digging into Nate Hobbs, but quickly took a look at the tape, and I was like, this guy is kind of interesting. Then talking to Nate Hobbs on draft day, talking to Nate Hobbs, I believe we talked to him in OTAs. At the very least, we heard from teammates about Nate Hobbs during OTAs, saw him out on the practice field. Into training camp, this guy, number 39, just kept showing up, keeps showing up, doing something good, doing something positive, being where he needs to be. Guys are talking him up, the coaching staff, other players are talking Nate Hobbs up, and that doesn't normally happen, and you just see it. You could see this dude out there looking like he belongs, looking like a professional, looking like he's ready to be an asset early on, if not immediately, for the Raiders. And Saturday night, the Raiders season or preseason opener against the Seattle Seahawks at an electric Allegiant Stadium. We're going to get into the whole show aspect of what happened on Saturday. By the way, you're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is a Monday, 9:20 a.m. Raider Nation Radio. After just a great weekend in Las Vegas, a great weekend at Allegiant Stadium, a great weekend for the Raiders, for the NFL. Trust me when I say. The powers that be on Park Avenue in New York City were watching with just smiles from New York to the Las Vegas Strip about how happy they were with how things turned out on Saturday night here in Las Vegas for the Raiders' first preseason game at Allegiant Stadium with fans involved. It was everything that you expected it to be. It was everything that the NFL wanted it to be. And if it's a taste of things to come, this is going to be a special market here in Las Vegas. And I am steadfast in that. Steadfast. This is going to be a spectacular new market for the NFL, new horizons in Las Vegas. Embrace the Raiders. There's plenty of, you know, supporters of Raider Nation that came in from out of town, California, the Western states, nationally. People came in bunches to a preseason game, 50,000 fans, a little bit more than 50,000 fans. That's unheard of usually at this time of year. But Raider Nation showed up, and it was a great show for everybody involved. But I'm talking about Nate Hobbs to start the show off. gritty cornerback from Illinois. And John Gruden, we're going to get into what John Gruden had to say about Nate Hobbs in just a little bit. But, you know, when I wrote about Nate Hobbs the first time, back on in April, it's after just a, you know, we had a nice conversation with Nate. He kind of brought up a little bit about what he's been through, his journey. There was a presence about Nate Hobbs. I've been doing this a long time, longer than I sometimes care to admit, but I've been doing this a long time. There's just certain dudes that kind of grab you a little bit. They stand out above others. It's not anything that was forced. It's not anything that is, you know, going over the top or trying to be that guy or acting like that guy or anything like that. It's all natural. It's all organic with this dude. And from the first time that we spoke to Nate Hobbs, I just felt something different about this dude. Like, all right, this is going to be a guy that's interesting. It'll be interesting to track. It'll be interesting to follow his journey to see if he's able to take it now to this next level. And you saw him on Saturday. I'm not going to get too caught up. You know, I know that there was the big splash play on the sack of Geno Smith, where he just came flying off the edge on a corner blitz and buried Geno Smith into the grass. Almost caused a turnover. Initially, it looked like it was going to be a fumble, Raiders ball going the other direction. But on replay, obvious that Geno hit the ground first before the ball came out. So you saw the splash play, and it gave you an idea of what it is that we've kind of been seeing throughout practice. But, you know, somebody on Twitter said, well, what else did he do? Well, what else did he do? He was efficient. He was solid. He was where he needed to be as far as pass coverage. He held his own in run support. You know, sometimes as a cornerback, the less you hear about somebody, the better it is. Obviously, you want to see interceptions and all that. But more than that, or just as importantly as that, you don't want to get beat. You don't want to get exposed. You don't want to be the reason why a guy, you know, catches a 15-yard pass and then you miss the tackle and it goes for 40 yards. You don't want to be that guy. A lot of times, when you really think about it, when we're hearing the name of cornerbacks, a lot of times it's for the wrong reasons, not the right reasons. And so even though you might not have heard Nate Hobbs' name called beyond that fabulous play that he made coming off the blitz, that doesn't mean he wasn't doing his job, and because he was. And you go watch the tape. He looked like he belonged. He looked like he belonged, and he played a good portion, I think the entire first quarter, as did a bunch of the young defensive players. And I just feel like he's somebody that Raider Nation should kind of rally behind. He's got an inspiring story. He loses his father when he's 12 years old. Louisville, Kentucky, not in an area that's really known for producing NFL players, you know, played well enough in high school, was a gritty, good football player in high school, but really the only scholarship he had offer was from Western Kentucky, you know, not USC, obviously, not Stanford, UCLA, Notre Dame. You know, it's not even, for that matter, Washington State. It's not a Power 5 program. And at the very last second, Lovie Smith in Illinois decides to offer him a scholarship. I want to say that he decommitted on December 23rd of his recruiting cycle and signed or pledged to Illinois, the only Power 5 conference school that offered him a scholarship, pledged to Illinois, and goes over to the Fighting Illini, Champaign, Illinois, played 4 years, was learned under the tutelage of a guy by the name of Lovie Smith. We all know who Lovie Smith is. If you're a football fan, you know cover two, great defensive mind, head coach of the Chicago Bears when the Chicago Bears went to the Super Bowl. Yes, I just said that. The Chicago Bears, the Super Bowl. It hadn't happened since Mike Ditka in the 1980s. And here's Lovie Smith leading the Bears to the Super Bowl. He's now the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, but prior to that, he was a head coach at Illinois. Not the greatest place to coach. It's almost, there's certain coaching jobs that are, I wouldn't say career killers, but it's hard to win at Illinois in the Big Ten when you're dealing with Ohio State, when you're dealing with Penn State, when you're dealing with Michigan State. I could go on and on and on. the trials and tribulations of trying to win at Illinois. So, you know, Lovie Smith did the best he could with in kind of a smaller program relative to the Big Ten. But he had a kid by the name of Nate Hobbs who learned under Lovie Smith. And if you're going to be in college and you're going to be a defensive back, you can't have anybody. There's nobody better to learn from than a Lovie Smith, who is a great defensive coordinator, but his forte, one of his fortes, is developing secondary players, defensive backs. So, you know, I and John Gruden talked about this, and real quick, John Gruden talking about Nate Hobbs, and just that there's just something about this kid that kind of draws you to him. Here's John Gruden talking about Nate Hobbs.
He's a little bit like Zay Jones. There's just certain, you know, there's certain guys that bring juice. They bring something to the game that others just, you can't explain it. He's one of these guys. He's into it all the time. Walkthroughs, meetings. He's a nickel corner. He might be an opening day starter for us. We gave him a start tonight. It's never too big for him. Play good on special teams. He was wire to wire. He was in there at the end of the game. So, we got a lot to, you know, look at before we make any conclusions, but we do like our fifth-round pick.
That's high praise right there from John Gruden on a number of different levels. Number one, pretty much not playing his card entirely by saying that Nate Hobbs is going to be the day one starter, but hinting strongly that Nate Hobbs is going to be the day one starter. And really, it's you know, you have to think of it like this as well. Nevin Lawson, who's the quote-unquote de facto starter right now, a guy, I guess, at the season were to start today or yesterday or maybe on Friday rather than the Saturday after we saw what Nate Hobbs did, is probably the guy that would get the start. But Nevin Lawson is suspended for, I think, the first two games. Again, this is like the third straight year. It's like this weird situation that Nevin keeps finding himself in. But the bottom line is he's going to miss a couple of games for the to start the season because he's on the suspended list. It came off of, what was it, a hit in the Denver Broncos game to end last season. I don't necessarily agree with the call, but it is what it is. And Nevin Lawson is on the suspended list. So almost by default, maybe, you know, Nate Hobbs is going to get the start because Nevin Lawson isn't going to be out there. But I will say this. As the weeks go on, I'd be almost shocked if Nate Hobbs just made that a moot point. Anyway, I think Nate Hobbs is in line. He's playing his way into a starting position regardless of what happens or with Nevin Lawson, regardless of Nevin Lawson's status to start the season. I think he is opening up enough eyes. And I, you know, obviously want you guys' thoughts on what happened Saturday. I have obviously my own thoughts, and I'm going to share them with you. I thought the defense looked competent, and as first steps go, competent is something that you would gladly take when you consider what we saw last year time and time again from the Raiders defense, which competent would be the opposite of how they played too often last year. I'm not questioning anybody's desire. I'm not questioning anything like that, but far too often, and I'm not speaking out of school to say this, far too often last year, that defense was disconnected, disjointed, disoriented. They weren't on the same page. There was a lack of chemistry. You wondered sometimes about the messaging from the coaching staff down to the players. You had guys looking at each other wondering, why are you over there when you're supposed to be over here? No, I thought you were supposed to be over here and I was supposed to be. You know, you saw that. You didn't even have to read lips, be able to read lips to understand what was going on far too often as guys just were looking around wondering, where's my help? I thought we were in cover too. You're playing something entirely different. I thought we were in zone. You're in man. So, you know, there were a lot of issues last year in terms of being competent. And sometimes competent is, well, that's a starting point. You have to be competent. And then build from that. Then you could be spectacular. You could be great. You could be decisive. You could be dynamic, electric, whatever you want to call it from beyond that point. And those are all areas where the Raiders want to get to. But right now, at this stage of the game, considering where they've come from, where they were, competent is a huge compliment, a huge step in the right direction. And when you look at Nate Hobbs and Trayvon Morrig, and you look at the fact that, and think about this for a second, there was not one quote-unquote starter that played defensively on Saturday. Now, I will preface this by saying this, preface that by saying this, Trayvon Morrig's going to start, period. He's going to be the starting free safety. He hasn't quote-unquote won that job, and rightfully so. He's got to go out there and prove it, but I'd be shocked if Trayvon Morrig, who started the game at free safety on Saturday, isn't the starting free safety when the Baltimore Ravens come rolling into town to play the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium on Monday night, September 13th. I think Nate Hobbs at this point, we just talked about it, is on track and is on target to be the starting slot cornerback, okay? But now take those two guys out of the equation and just assume they're going to be starters come September 13th. You look at every other position on defense on Saturday that played, that started the game, right now they're all second-team players. But you're talking about Clelee Ferrell. You know, you're talking about Solomon Thomas. You're talking about Darius Filon. You're talking about Carl Nassib. You're talking about Nick Kwiatkowski, Jevin White. You're talking about Damon Arnett started the game on Saturday. You're talking about names. These are the second-team players that I just named. A few of those, three to four of those players were starters last year. All right, so now that's your depth. Clelee Ferrell is your depth. Carl Nassib is your depth. Solomon Thomas is your depth. Darius Filon, and then you might as well just name Gerald McCoy because he's going to be in there at some point, is your depth. Nick Kwiatkowski is your depth. And I think I'm almost doing a lot of these guys a disservice by calling them depth. They're all going to play. They're all going to be in the rotation. They're all going to be used situationally. And we're going to get to that as well. There were a lot of different things that we saw on Saturday that you didn't see these last couple of years. How about Tanner Muse and Malcolm Kuntz coming off the edge as outside linebackers rushing the passer? Tanner Muse went up and got a ball, deflected it. Nice play by Tanner Muse. Malcolm Kuntz on that very play, if you go watch it, is is on the other side rushing the passer, except he drops back in coverage, so you're going to have a lot of that. You have guys standing up rushing the passer. You have guys with their hand in the ground rushing the passer. There were all types of different schemes and lineups and alignments that the Raiders showed on Saturday, and it's only barely into their install. It's there's so much more that you're going to see when the regular season unfolds. Obviously, you don't want to play all your cards on Saturday, but you got a glimpse of what kind of versatility and what kind of scheme versatility you're going to start seeing in how Gus Bradley and this Raiders defensive staff utilizes players. Not to get all into it, what happened last year, but it just felt like the same thing over and over again last year with the Raiders defense. And this is how you're going to line up. That's how you're going to play. And it's going to be – that's it. I didn't think the Raiders staff last year did a great job of utilizing players' individual skill sets and lining them up in a way that was going to accentuate those skill sets. So when you see a Malcolm Kuntz lined up, upright, rushing the passer, that's what that dude does. That's one of the things that he does. Take advantage of that. Don't always ask him to put his hand in the ground and rush the passer that way. Now, he'll do that. He's going to have to do that at some point. But his best attribute is rushing the passer, and probably he does it better when he's a stand-up outside linebacker, defensive end, rush edge. And you saw him lined up doing exactly that. You've seen that in practice. So it's the flexibility that we're seeing in this Gus Bradley defense and how they're utilizing guys. And what did he say a couple of weeks ago when we talked to him? If you show you can do something, if you show you can be an asset, if you show that you can help in a particular way, we'll figure out how to put you in that situation. You're going to play. And so when you see all what you saw yesterday or Saturday and in all the various ways guys were being used, just the Nate Hobbs blitz off the edge. People say, well, Gus Bradley doesn't blitz. Yes, he does. And if you show that you can, you're going to get called in that regard. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider 27 is on the line. How you doing, Raider 27?
Hey, Vinny. I want to talk about everybody's really excited about the game. So am I, and everybody's talking about it, and so am I. And I've watched the game four or five times now. What I want to talk about is certain players that when they got here, it was just like people just reamed these poor guys. And now look at the difference. Look at the Brandon Parkers of the Raiders. You know, will Brandon Parker be a starting left tackle? Probably not. Will he be able to fill in at almost any spot on the offensive line? Yeah, and he'll fill in pretty well, too. And you need players like that. You need that kind of depth. And then you look at Peterman. How ridicule was there when Gruden kept hanging, no, Peterman's going to be good. No, Peterman's going to be good. And then all of a sudden, 3 years in, Peterman looked really good. He looked really good. And there's a ton of players. Moreau came in with nothing and was developed into a starting linebacker. So, you know, when people look at the Raiders record and look at them, they're all just complaining and they want to complain about everything. I'm optimistic at the record that we're showing developing players. John Simpson looked great. Lester Cotton looked really good. That second and third unit offensive line looked pretty doggone good. You know, we brought in
Morrissey. Did you see Morrissey, the center?
Yes, I saw Morrissey. How could you miss Morrissey on that touchdown? He pushed everybody in the whole thing back. He literally moved everybody. Yeah, Morrissey was great.
And look, it's not. And obviously, you got to keep it in perspective. The Seattle Seahawks were using backup players as well, but when your backup players are mauling the other team's backup players, that's got to be a good sign. It means your backup players are better than their backup players, period. That means you're doing a pretty decent job of drafting and, like you said, developing. And I'm glad you bring up Nathan Peterman. I just, you know, I don't know. You're talking about a third string quarterback right now, okay? Who eventually could be the second string quarterback, you know, and be a good solid second string quarterback. But let's just keep it where it is right now. He's the Raiders' third string quarterback. This is a quarterback who now is in his third season in John Gruden and Greg Olsen's system. All right, third season. That is, I'm trying to go through the rosters in the NFL to find a quarterback. A third-string quarterback who's going into his third year under the same tutelage, in the same system, the same coaching staff. I don't know. I'd have to really do a deep dive on that. I doubt very seriously there's many, if any. So when you start talking about a third-string quarterback, and let's just say Derek Carr, for whatever reason, you know, had to miss a game or two, all right? In that situation, you're really vulnerable. Some teams don't even carry a third quarterback. And others that do, a lot of times it's like a rookie or a guy that, you know, you brought in camp that year. And, you know, you're hoping that you might be able to get some mileage out of that player. But typically, if your starter goes down and you go to your second string quarterback, which is dicey to begin with, then that third string quarterback gets elevated to the second string, which means he's a play away, literally, from running out on the field. That third-string quarterback often is somebody you have to go out on the street to go get, or it's somebody that's super, super inexperienced. And you have to do all kinds of condensing of the game plan, if not crash course on the offense, and condense it considerably to make up for whatever he doesn't know. Nate Peterman, you don't have to do any of those things at this point. If Derek Carr were to go down and Marcus Mariota steps in and is a starting quarterback for whatever given time, you know in your second-string quarterback now behind Marcus Mariota, you have somebody that you're not going to have to tear out half the playbook or 99% of the playbook to just be able to get to a point where he's going to be able to go out there and be somewhat respectable. You don't have to do that with Nate Peterman. And by the way, he is developing. He's getting better. He's getting his practice reps. He's getting his time in as, you know, and learning the system and developing. And it won't be long. And I think we saw a sign of this on Saturday. He might not be the worst guy to throw out there in an emergency situation as your third string quarterback, thinking he's going to give the Raiders a chance. He'll give the Raiders a chance for whatever extended period of time he might get, short, long, whatever the case might be. He can give them an opportunity to keep their heads above water. And really, that's all you're asking from your third-string quarterback. And that's asking a lot. A lot of teams can't even expect that from their third-string guy. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
It was great to have the Raider fans out there, by the way. Kind of numb, you know, just... to see the world coming back together and to be in this stadium with these fans again, it just warms my heart. I thank them all for coming out, and you know, we are really, really excited about playing in front of them for the rest of this year.
Yeah, man, I'm with John Gruden. That was, you know, last year was such a bummer. It really was just watching games, and I traveled with the Raiders, so I was at every all the road games, and just seeing the nothingness that was in the stands, and you know, it was kind of a, those were real games going out on those fields last year, and guys were giving it their all. It was the NFL, the top 1%, but you know, and I don't want to say that it felt like practice because it wasn't. Guys were competing and they were playing hard nosed football out there, but there was something missing. All last year, it was an atmosphere. It was the fans. It was the excitement that they bring. It was the energy that they provide, whether it's for, you know, here in Las Vegas or out on the road. And you just felt it. You noticed it. And it wasn't cool at all. You knew something was missing, and it was hurtful. I mean, obviously, also, we're going through this pandemic, and people are dying, and we're trying to get back on track as a country. You know, you go to these stadiums, and not only are there no fans in the stands, but you understand there's no, you know, people are losing their jobs as a result. So you had that going on, and it was a total bummer. And we all went through it, covered the football season, the players played, the coaches coached, but there was something that was missing last year. And getting a taste of it on Saturday night at Allegiant Stadium, what we've missed for all of last year, to get it back, and then to get it back at that kind of a level, it was surreal. It was a truly special night in Las Vegas. And I mentioned in the earlier segment, New York, the NFL, is so happy right now. They cannot be any happier than they had to have been on Saturday, watching this new market in Las Vegas blossom the way it did on Sunday. And it's really just the start. Can't wait to see what it looks like on September 13th when Baltimore comes rolling into town, and then every week after that, and especially if the Raiders are in a playoff chase, to see what kind of energy the fans, that, you know, Raider Nation fans are going to be able to create, I think is truly going to be special. And we're going to get into that, plus what I thought were some major improvements on the getting to the stadium and getting out of the stadium. It's a learning process. I know there were a lot of people complaining over the first couple events that happened at Allegiant Stadium. Patience, everybody. This is a whole new world here in Las Vegas. It's something that Las Vegas has never had before. There's going to be traffic, but you got to let it play out and let the experts, their number one goal is to get you into that stadium as quickly as possible and get you out of that stadium as quickly as possible, and for you to enjoy the experience from the minute you show up, whether that's 7 a.m. in the morning with the tailgating or whether you leave at, you know, 3 hours after the game, after, you know, kicking back and having some fun, going to the team store, whatever the case might be. That's their goal, and they're going to figure it out along with you guys. It's a learning experience for everybody, and the fans have their part to play in it too, in terms of getting it figured out. What's the best route to the stadium? What's the easiest way to get to my parking lot? How do I get into the stadium? Where's the gate that I have to go to? It's all a learning experience, and it's going to get licked, and it's going to be great. And there was already a big step in that direction on Saturday. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line to welcome in my good friend and my teammate, my colleague over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Sam Gordon, who does a tremendous job covering so many different things, including the Las Vegas Aces, who had an epic comeback yesterday in a huge win. And we're going to talk to Sam about that. But Sam, first of all, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. How are you doing, my friend?
And anytime, Vinny. Doing well. Football is back. Actual football is back. We're on the precipice of the first season with fans here in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. And I like you talked about, Vinny. We got a little bit of taste of that on Saturday night. So all is well. A lot going on in town, and a fun time to be in Las Vegas for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, let's start from the experience and the atmosphere to start off with. As I just mentioned, you know, there was a concert, there were a couple concerts, I think, and then the soccer match here at Allegiant Stadium. And, of course, there were going to be issues. Of course, there were going to be wrinkles to iron out. It's a first time on this magnitude for Las Vegas. There's never been a stadium that held 65,000 people there, so getting fans into the stadium, into the parking lots safely and securely, getting them out of the stadium. It was going to be a learning process, but I felt like it was much smoother and much better on Saturday for a lot of different reasons. And I give the fans a lot of credit for kind of paying attention and learning and figuring things out, but also the Raiders and the stadium authority as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you completely. And we have to remember here, and everybody in town has to remember, this is an unprecedented situation for Vegas, where you have a brand new stadium, a football team, where on 9-10 Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays or whatever throughout the course of the year, that this is going to be the number one event by a mile in town, and there are a lot of moving parts with that. And I think having the Garth Brooks concert last month, having the soccer game, the CONCACAF soccer game between the USA and Mexico earlier this month, those were kind of soft test runs for what it would be like to deal with those kind of crowds, the parking, you know, the drop-off spots and all those things. And like you said, Vinny, it's going to be a learning process, but I expect throughout the course of the year it's going to get a little easier and easier. I think you being in all the pro sports markets you've been in, I grew up in Minneapolis area where we had everything, including the Vikings, and there's just kind of a tempo that develops to a game day. And you know what lots are going to be available. You know, if you're coming with friends and family, where they can drop you off, where they can pick you up. You know the public transportation schedule. You know what bars and restaurants are going to be accessible and where to go to there if you can't get a ticket to the game. It's all part of having an NFL team. And I think Saturday, to your point, is one step closer to kind of discovering that rhythm, what it's going to be like having a game day here in Las Vegas. And all things considered, given that it was just the first one, right, the first one with fans, I think it was pretty smooth, and it's not going to be perfect. It's, you know, there's always going to be aspects of getting to and from a game that are going to be a hassle, and that's even for us too. And we get there way early, you know, before there's all these crowds. That's just part of the business. But like you said, there's so many people whose specific jobs are to make sure that this is a smooth, fun, entertaining experience. That's why we all love sports, because they're fun. They're a fun thing to be a part of. And when you have a game, an atmosphere where there's 50,000 plus people, and we're going to see 65 strong throughout the course of the season when the games really count the standings, that's what it entails. And I thought it was the city got a good taste of what it's going to be like, and it's only going to get easier. There's only going to be a little bit more of a natural rhythm, and I think fans are going to really enjoy having a viable NFL franchise here and getting to be a part of that, whether they're at the games in person or not.
Yeah, great point, Sam. And heck, I'm going to be going to a stadium, SoFi Stadium, on Saturday in Inglewood, where they're actually kind of going through the same thing. Because if you know Los Angeles, you know that football was always at the Coliseum, which is near downtown, over by USC. And so training people, educating people now on getting 75,000 people over to Inglewood, which was the longtime home of the Los Angeles Lakers, the Fabulous Forum, and there was a racetrack over there. But they've never had to do, or for years anyway, you know, the racetrack, I think there were like 80,000 that could sit there, that could be there or something along those lines. But it's been a long time since they've had to get that many people to SoFi Stadium. So even in Los Angeles, they're going through the same thing. What's the exit? What's the time do I leave? And you just have to expect that. And I know that everyone likes to complain and criticize, but it just takes a little bit of patience. We'll get there. I know that for a fact. And again, like I said, Saturday was a good indicator that things are moving in the right direction. But Sam, we got to talk about what happened on the field. I'm not reading too much into a 20-7 Raiders victory. You always want to win. That's always a good feeling. So good on them for that. But there were some areas that I was keying on, and I know there were some areas that you were keying on as well. Let's jump over to the defensive side of the ball. What jumped out at you about the defensive effort on Saturday night for the Raiders?
Well, I think the first name that comes to mind for me, Vinny, is Nate Hobbs, right? The rookie corner who is, I think, firmly in the mix for that nickel slot corner position. We know the sack, him flying in off the edge, getting to Geno Smith. I thought he played with an edge. I thought he played with some toughness. I thought he played with some speed, did a good job when he was matching up, and really showed like he was ready for the opportunity. And we understand, right, the first teams weren't out there. We get that. You know, there's some starters that got a little bit of playing time just to get some reps, or some people that we assume are going to be starters. But for the most part, the ones were not out there. We get that. The result is what it is. But I thought Nate Hobbs was really impressive, and I thought the defense as a whole, right? Like, yes, it's preseason, but to only allow 7 points and there was a cohesive feel to it that I don't know if it was always there last year during the regular season. And look, we're not reading into it too much. I want to be very, very clear. Nobody's saying this is the 85 Bears, but I thought what you saw, even across the defensive line, you have guys that were previously starters, Carl Nassib, Solomon Thomas, guys that have started in this league, functioning more or less as second-team players out there. It just speaks to the depth and the moves and the transactions that the Raiders made throughout the course of the offseason. We understand the defense wasn't good enough. They understand that. And what they did was they shored up the depth in the defensive backfield and across the defensive front. And I thought that came to light with what we saw on Saturday. I think that's come to light in training camp. I think there's a lot of competition. There's going to be more depth. There's going to be some very challenging decisions and probably some very challenging cuts. But at the end of the day, that's not a bad position to be in when you're one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year. So to answer your original question, Nate Hobbs is the guy that I was most impressed with. We've been hearing rave reviews from his teammates throughout the course of training camp. I think he's performed well in training camp so far from what we saw, and I believe based on what we saw on Saturday, he has to be firmly in the mix in that slot corner position, or as a guy that at the very least is going to be a part of a rotation back there in the defensive backfield and a contributing player as a fifth-round pick as a rookie in 2021.
You can follow Sam Gordon at @bysamgordon. He does a great job covering so many different things for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, including the Raiders, obviously. Couple of young offensive linemen got the start on Saturday. The Raiders pretty much rested the veterans, Colton Miller, Richie Incognito, Denzel Good, but they wanted to get, you know, some reps for Alex Leatherwood, the rookie from Alabama, right tackle from Alabama, Andre James, the new center, and then also John Simpson from Clemson. I thought they handled themselves pretty well. I give Pete Carroll a lot of credit. Usually, you know, defenses are vanilla this time of year, and they didn't do anything crazy, but they put some pressure on with some blitz calls that forced this young Raider offensive line and these young two young starters to pick up. I thought the offensive line did a pretty decent job on Saturday. Alex Leatherwood in particular.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. And you, take a look at that first drive, a 14 play, 70 plus yard touchdown drive that results in a score with those guys out there getting their first NFL experience. You can't have a better drive than that. Like, you just can't. That is the kind of drive. Obviously, you know, head coaches, offensive coordinators, they all love big plays. Everybody loves big plays. Those are exciting. But when push comes to shove, those are the kind of drives where you get your bread butter, where you make your money. And I thought, like you said, those two young offensive linemen on the opening drive of the game did exactly what they were supposed to do, handled themselves like professionals. You saw the size. You saw some of the explosive athleticism. And all things considered, look, this is them getting their sea legs for the first time playing – getting reps in a game-like situation, even though it's a preseason, getting game reps in that kind of situation against teams that they haven't seen before, opposition they haven't seen, a new experience in front of fans, in front of a crowd. All things considered, I thought it was a strong performance by both guys. I think the Raiders and their staff have to be encouraged by what they've seen. Makes sense why they rested the veterans. You've seen enough from those three. But to get those guys some reps in the preseason, I think is crucial. You know, you still want to build some confidence. And Leatherwood and James look like they're heading in the right direction. And, of course, still a couple games left to go in the preseason, still a couple weeks left to prepare. But all things considered, when you engineer that kind of drive that early in the game, that's a credit to the offensive line. And those guys are part of that offensive line and are going to be counted on when the season starts. I thought they looked good and looked like professionals out there in their first game action.
Sam, the Raiders go to Southern California this week. They'll practice Tuesday here in Las Vegas. Then it's off to Thousand Oaks, California to practice against the Los Angeles Rams, a team that many consider a potential Super Bowl participant or challenger in the Los Angeles Rams. I checked the weather report, by the way, and I think it's going to be about a high of 77 in Thousand Oaks Tuesday or Wednesday and Thursday when the Raiders practice. So definitely a breath of fresh air in terms of the temperature compared to here in Las Vegas. But they're going to be going up against, especially that young offensive line that we just talked about, a guy by the name of Aaron Donald. I'm not sure you've heard of him. And maybe the listeners, I'm not quite sure, don't want to be presumptuous and think you have, but there's a guy by the name of Aaron Donald in Los Angeles, and he's a guy that wrecks games, and I've personally seen him wreck practices too, much to the chagrin of guys like Sean McVay. So it's going to be a handful, and Aaron Donald cuts no corners at all. He's going to bring it in practice. He's probably not going to even see the game on Saturday. Understandable, but he's going to be there. He's going to show up at practice. What are you expecting? What would you like to see from this young offensive line against Aaron Donald? Even if it's just the experience that they're going to get dealing with somebody that good.
That's exactly what it is. It's experience. It's the opportunity. Look, hey. At this juncture in the season, you know, training camp, preseason, getting practices under your belt, preparing for the regular season, you have the opportunity for 2 days to play against one of the best defensive players to ever play the game, to get reps, to see how he moves, to see how he works, to see how he handles his business, right? And if you're a young offensive lineman, what better learning opportunity is there than to face somebody of that caliber? That's an opportunity that you're not going to get very often, that Rams offensive linemen are fortunate enough to have every single day, but that the Raiders offensive, I mean, they might see Aaron Donald, you know, these teams play once every, 4 years, 3 years with the schedule, with the way it rotates. So they might not see Aaron Donald again. You know, you never know. This is an opportunity to learn from, to compete against one of the best players of all time. And even for the guys on the defensive side of the ball, an opportunity to see how he goes about his business. What does he do that sets him apart? How does he approach practice? Yeah, that's something you've seen for years, Vinny, right? Like you said, he doesn't cut his corners. There's a reason Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. Like, it's not just the talent, it's the way he approaches the game. So I think for the young Raiders offensive lineman to get a chance this early in the season to play against somebody of that caliber, and then, you know, the receivers too, Jalen Ramsey, that's a first-team All-Pro. I mean, there's a reason this Rams team is considered a Super Bowl contender. They are loaded on both sides of the ball. And for the Raiders at this juncture in the preseason, I think is a perfect opportunity to get some reps in against somebody that's not yourself, against a team in a different jersey, a team in a different uniform, different players, see different schemes, different approaches to practice, and vice versa for the Rams. I think it's a benefit, you know, same kind of situation where they get to see some pretty good players too. Unique Ngakoue on that Raiders defensive line, Max Crosby, guys like that. So. Steel sharpens steel at the end of the day, and there is no sharper steel than Aaron Donald, who is still in his prime at age 30, one of the best defensive players we'll ever see, and the Raiders are going to get a chance to see him up close and personal. I think it's a great opportunity, and like you said, experience is huge. Drawing on that experience from competing against somebody of his ilk, of his caliber at this juncture of the season, can only benefit the Raiders going forward.
No question about it. Very quickly, Sam, huge win for the Aces yesterday.
Yeah.
I know that was their first game back since the Olympic break. Kind of a slow start, it sounds like. But they got themselves together and won in epic fashion. Give us a kind of a overview on what happened and how important a win like that can be for them moving forward.
Yeah, I think it was huge, Vinny. I mean, there haven't been a lot of situations this year in which they face real adversity because they're so good. You look at the roster, Olympians up and down the roster, MVPs, All-Stars, all WNBA caliber players, and they've performed as expected. Best record in the league, best net rating, best offensive rating, best defensive rating for a majority of the season. Haven't been tested like they were yesterday. Washington comes out, spreads the floor, five out, and shooting threes, driving lanes, pulling bigs out of the post, out of the paint defensively. It really made it hard on the Aces in that first half. I don't think the Aces' effort was where it needed to be. And Liz Cambage picked up three quick fouls, and she's so important to what they do on both sides of the ball. She's able to play a majority of the second half, or 15 of the 20 minutes in the second half. And to me, one of the stories of the game was how dominant she was. I mean, there was a stretch. They're down 14 going in the fourth quarter. They complete the biggest fourth quarter in franchise history. And she scores three or four baskets in a row and forces a timeout and really played with an edge and a swagger that we know she's had, that she showcased throughout her career, but that we haven't always seen this season. And she withdrew from the Olympics because she was going through some things, anxiety, depression, things that she's been very vocal about. She is an advocate for mental health. And she talked after the game about how valuable that time off was her, just having a month of rest and recovery to recharge, to take a break from basketball for a little bit, to kind of refocus. And you saw that. And you saw that last night. I thought she was huge. And her two-way play, I think, is going to be really crucial in what ultimately ends up happening to this team in the postseason. When she's dialed in like she was in that second half yesterday, this team is really, really hard to stop. It is a huge win. Very, very, very good for them to be in these kind of adverse situations because you know how intense playoffs in any and every sport are going to be. But it was a playoff kind of game yesterday, and the Aces responded and executed down the stretch. I thought they were fantastic. Chelsea Gray with the game winner. She's been everything they've wanted and then some as a maestro at the point, and that's a big win. So they play the Mystics again tomorrow, and I expect a much more complete effort from them after struggling in the first half yesterday. So I think it was good to get that experience. And now you move forward and turn the page and try and do it again tomorrow.
Well, you're our maestro, Sam Gordon. never let that be forgotten, without a doubt. Yep. Thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. You know I always appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say anytime, Vinny. I know you're going out to L.A. To cover the practices for us at the Review Journal. We really appreciate it. And looking forward to hearing to reading and your reports and seeing your tweets and checking everything out. Out there back in California.
I appreciate that, man. You can follow him at By Sam Gordon. Please do. I keep telling you guys and reminding you guys, go follow Sam. He's a great follower. He does a tremendous job here in Las Vegas covering Las Vegas sports. Take care, Sam. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Saul wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Saul?
Hey, Vinny. Hey, I just wanted to chime in real quick. I was there at the game.
Nice.
We got a little secret for all the people complaining about the wait time. Show up early. We got there, I think, an hour before the gates opened. We were probably like the fourth or fifth car in line. Got in. It was nice and easy. We had a great time tailgating out there in Lot J. And I sit in 123, level one, and I was just amazed because the first game, it was the Hall of Fame that day, or the practice game, we didn't get to see everybody. I'm sitting behind Raider Man. I'm sitting behind Gorilla. I mean, taking in the atmosphere, watching Carlos Santana, the halftime show, I had a great time, man.
Saul, are you local or are you out of town?
No, I'm local.
Okay.
I've been here for a while.
Awesome. Love to hear that.
I just wanted to say it real quick. I mean, it was amazing to see everybody out there. I mean, it was a blast. I'm sitting there telling my kids, this is this guy, this is that guy, schooling them on all these Raider legends. The one gripe I did have is we got to do something to get Violator down there, man, because Violator is way too high up there, man. They showed him real quick, and somehow he's way up there, so we got to get him down in the black hole.
All right. Well, we'll see what we could do about all that. But yeah, it was a spectacular atmosphere. And again, it was just a preseason game. I was astounded. I was at the Coliseum in Los Angeles when the Rams, their first preseason game back, when they came back from St. Louis, it was against the Dallas Cowboys. There was close to 100,000 people at the Coliseum that night. It was electric. But this was a different kind of electricity. This was a different vibe, and I just loved everything about it because it was at the new stadium. It was at the current home of the Raiders, and you saw the flavor that's going to be created there, whether it was the Raider Nation element, the Raiders history element, Las Vegas. Las Vegas is going to put its own spin on things. It's just a great new market, great new atmosphere, great new future for the Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.